Genesis 22, look at verse number 1 with me. The Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And I'm going to ask Brother Jim Wolfram right where he's at, if you'll open up your voice and pray for us tonight, Brother Jim.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we sure thank you and love you, Lord, for allowing us to be here this weekend. Father, we pray that you'd have your hand upon the man.
Spirit of God, please empty me in myself. Fill me with thy spirit.
Don't let us leave here, pray that you'd Lord, just the same. Help us to want to change for you. Father, we do ask you to be with Brother Dallas as he preaches.
Please draw on
our hearts. We give you the credit and honor and the glory for it. In Christ's name,
amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Genesis 22 is one of the most well-known stories in all the Bible. Perhaps every preacher at some time or another has preached from this passage about that ultimate sacrifice that Abraham was asked to offer up his son Isaac as a burnt offering. I love that very prophetical statement there in verse number 8 after Isaac says, Father, he said, the fire and the wood I see, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And I love that prophetical statement that Abraham makes. He said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb. And aren't you thankful over 2,000 years ago, God did provide of himself a lamb when he gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary for my sin, for your sin, by the good grace of God. We find that at this point, Abraham is now an old man, and much has transpired in his life. He and Lot have separated. We find that Ishmael has been born. The events of Sodom and Gomorrah have taken place. Isaac, that promised son, is now born. Again, the beauty of this story is similar to the likeness of God offering his son as a sacrifice. As I've read this story many times now, as the Lord's allowed me to be able to read my Bible through many times now, being saved for these last 23 years, and I guess the last 15 years have read my Bible through at least twice a year, sometimes three times a year. I read this story not very long ago, and there was a phrase that stuck out to me that really had never stuck out to me like it did that day in my Bible reading, and I want to bring that out today. It's said three times here in this portion of Scripture. I want you to look at it with me this evening. Look at Genesis 22 and look at verse number 3 with me. The Bible says, And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto, here's the phrase, the place of which God had told him. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says that on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, and they came, here it is the third time, the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. That phrase is none other than the place, used three times in this portion of Scripture. That got me to thinking, what is that place that Abraham was supposed to get to? Your answer would probably be the same as my answer before I saw that statement. That place is Mount Moriah, most of us would say. Can I say, as I begin to read and as I begin to pray and begin to study about this portion of Scripture, I understand that that's the location that Abraham was supposed to get to. But there was a spiritual place that God wanted Abraham to get to. And can I say tonight, I believe with all my heart, that not only does God wanted Abraham to get to that place, but he wants every man and boy under the sound of my voice to get to that place and stay at that place. I want you to look what the place is tonight. Look at verse number 12 with me. The Bible says, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. Now here's the place. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, that only son from me. That place where God wanted Abraham to get to was where he feared God above everything else. Can we be reminded in this portion of Scripture here, Abraham up to this point has done everything that God has commanded him to do without question. We find that Isaac is bound on the altar. Abraham even takes that knife. He stretches forth that knife, prepared to slay his only son. And in an instant, the voice of that angel Lord comes out of heaven and says, Abraham, Abraham, causing him to stay his hand. The angel then tells Abraham, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. Don't slay him. Don't hurt him. Don't even lay your hand upon him in a hurtful way. Why? Because Abraham loved God? He did, but that wasn't the reason. Why? Because Abraham was obedient to God? He was, but that wasn't the reason. Why? Because God came up with another idea? Not on your life, God came up with another idea. I believe with all my heart, God stopped Abraham because Abraham had gotten to the place where God wanted him to get to, and that was, for now, I know that thou fearest God. Can I say, in this last year and a half, us preachers have preached it. We men have tried to live it, not to live in fear, but to live by faith. And I'm thankful tonight I can live by faith in God. I don't have to be in fear of man. But can I tell you, my friend, there is one that every single one of us ought to get to that place and stay at that place and fear. And that is the God that sits on his throne in heaven tonight. And for the next few minutes, I want to preach on this subject, having faith to fear. The Bible has a lot to say about fearing God. I'll just give you a few things of what the Bible says. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 10, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs chapter 9 or 8 and verse number 13, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 29, the Bible says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 29 and verse number 25, 5, the Bible says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. I particularly like Psalm 103 and verse number 11 that says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. I really like Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 27 that says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. And can I say, we live in a society today, they don't fear anybody. They don't fear authority. They don't fear anything. But can I say tonight, men, if we can leave this place and every single one of us be at that place where Abraham got to, and that is to fear God. Amen. When I think about the subject of fearing God, there's three things that come to mind. There's three particular words that come to my mind when it's talking about fearing God. For instance, number one, it's the word awe. A-W-E, the word awe. My wife and I have been out to Colorado quite a few times on vacation preaching. And there's never a time, whether I'm on vacation or whether I'm out there preaching, there's never a time that I've been out there that I did not want to go to see the Rocky Mountains. And I've gone there every time to see the Rocky Mountains. And when I stand there and look at the Rocky Mountains, I just stand there in awe and just think about God, my Creator, created those mountains. But the same God of heaven that created those mountains is the same God of heaven that created me. And He desires and He deserves to walk with me and talk with me along life's narrow way. Can I say tonight, I don't ever want to lose the awe of it all, that I was a sinner on my way to hell. But thank God He saved me by the good grace of God. Amen. Man. Can I say not only the word awe, but I think about the word respect when it comes to fearing God. Can I say I respect electricity? Amen. Aren't you thankful for electricity? Amen. I'm thankful that we have lights. I'm thankful for air conditioning. I'm thankful that the refrigerator runs on electricity. Amen. I like electricity. But can I say I'm thankful not only for what electricity gives to me, I respect for what it does for me, but I also respect it in its manner. If there were some loose wires here tonight, I'm not going to go grab those loose wires, because the same electricity that gives me light is the same electricity that could take my life by grabbing those loose wires. And my friend, thankful tonight, my friend, for the abundant Christian life. But can we also be reminded, the same God that allows us to have the abundant Christian life is the same God that allows our heart to beat and our brain to function tonight, my friend. Turn your Bibles very quickly. We'll come back to Genesis 22 and in just a minute look at Deuteronomy chapter 14. Look at Deuteronomy in chapter number 14 tonight. Look at verse number 23. Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse number 23 tonight. The Bible says, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God. Not only do I think about the word awe, not only do I think about the word respect, but I also think about the word trust when it comes to fearing God. The Bible says, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. Thinking about the word trust, we understand. That's talking about the tithe there. And this isn't the subject. Let me just stop right there and say this. Maybe there's a man under the sound of my voice or a teenage boy. You just, for the life of you, you can't comprehend the concept of tithing and how we give God 10% and we keep back 90%, and how that 90% goes further than if we rob God and keep 100%, and you want the pastor or the evangelist to fully explain it to you. Can I say, my friend, it's not our job to fully explain the concept of tithing. It's just our job to obey God and let God take care of the rest. Amen. And it's amazing that we'll trust God with our eternal soul, but we can't trust God to give him the tithe that he deserves. Amen. Can I say, when I think about fearing God, I think about the word awe, I think about the word respect, I think about the word trust. And when we trust God, we won't mind giving God our time and our talents and our treasures. You understand, the fear of God is not us being afraid of God, but us having a high and exalted reverential view of him. To stand in awe of his majesty. To stand in awe of his power and his wisdom, his justice and his mercy. When's the last time we've dwelt upon his glorious holiness, which is the very opposite of sin and evil? and to revere God and know that He loves us so much that He desires for us to hate sin and love righteousness. I guarantee you tonight, if I were to ask every man and boy on the sound of my voice, how many of you love God? Every single one of us would probably raise our hand and say, I love God. But my friend, when we fear God to the extent that we love Him, is also to the extent that we're going to hate sin. Amen. Fearing God tonight. God's omniscient, meaning He's all-knowing. And I believe tonight that God knew that Abraham would follow through all the way to the end. But God wanted Abraham to come to the realization that he was at the place of fearing God. And God wants the same from each and every one of us tonight, that we would get to the place and we would stay at that place of living a life of fearing Him. You understand tonight, on any journey, before we get to the ending place, there's a starting place. And as we leave that starting place to get to that ending place, on that journey, there are some landmarks along the way. Can I just be completely transparent with you tonight? I've been in evangelism now, it'll be 15 years this coming June. And if it wasn't for a GPS, I would have never made it in evangelism. Amen. I've left churches a many a time trying to find out where the interstate's at, and some golly church member there at that church will say, well, Brother Christian, they say, now go northwest a couple miles and then turn east and do that. And I'm wanting to say, hold on, Lewis and Clark, tell me where the Chick-fil-A's at, amen, or the Burger King's at. Tell me, take a right there, amen. But you understand, Abraham started at a place, and there was an ending place where God wanted Abraham to get to. But before Abraham got to that place where he feared God, there were some landmarks that he stopped by before he got to that place. Let's stop by those landmarks for a little while this evening. Look, turn your Bibles back to Genesis 22. Genesis in 22 with me tonight. Can I ask you tonight, sir? Can I ask you tonight, young man? Are you at that place where God wants you to be tonight? Where you fear Him above everything else? Look at Genesis 22, look at verse number 1. The Bible says that it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Can I say, as I read this story, the first landmark that I see that Abraham stopped by before he got to that place, he stopped by the landmark of surrender. He stopped by the landmark of surrender. We're not certain as to what words God used to get Abraham's attention, but He did get his attention. The Bible says that God did tempt Abraham. In this instance, tempt means to test or to prove. And as we know from the book of James, God doesn't tempt anyone with or to do evil. And the important thing are not exactly all the words that God used to get Abraham's attention, but the important thing to know is God did get Abraham's attention, and Abraham was surrendered to that still, small voice of God and to do exactly what God had told him to do. I remember the very first pastor I ever preached for over 15 years ago, and I preached 15 years straight for Brother J.D. Wido at the Bible Baptist Church in El Dorado, Arkansas. Brother Wido tells the story of when he was a young teenage boy. His dad was a Texas state trooper, and dad got saved, and God began to work on his dad's heart, and dad surrendered to preach and became a pastor there in the Fort Worth, Texas area. And Brother Wido tells the story of how they had an evangelist come in by the name of Joe Boyd. Joe Boyd preached the revival that week. And that Sunday after he got through preaching, he came over to the Wido's house. And he sat next, right next to the young teenage J.D. Wido. And as they were sitting there, Brother Boyd asked Brother Wido, he said, young man, he said, what do you want to do with your life? Brother Weedo, at that time, his dad had some dairy cows, and Brother Weedo had already bought some dairy cows himself. And he said, I want to be a dairy farmer. And he said, the preacher said, well, young man, have you ever considered what God wanted to do with your life? He said, the preacher preached a revival that week, and the preacher left town that Thursday, packed his bags and left town. And he said, the evangelist left town that week, but he said, the Holy Spirit of God did not leave town that week. And he said for weeks and months on end, as he would go to bed, he would toss and turn, and that still small voice of the Spirit of God would say in his ear, have you ever considered what I want to do with your life? And Brother Weedo said he couldn't take it any longer, and he just surrendered to the will of God, and eventually he felt the call of God in his life to preach the Word of God. Can I say, I understand on the sound of my voice. God's not going to call every man on the sound of my voice to preach, but he is still calling, amen. And can I say tonight, my friend, can I ask you tonight, sir, can I ask you tonight, young man, when's the last time you came down and said, God, I surrender, it's your life to begin with. I'll do with it whatever you want me to do. Have you stopped by the landmark of surrender? His immediate response to whatever God said was, here I am. I think about that story of the prodigal son. When the prodigal son finally came back home, the father told the servants, he said, go out there in the field. Go get that fatted calf and bring him back. He said, my son was dead. He's alive again. And as you read that story, the servants did exactly what the father said. They went and got the fatted calf. They brought him back home. They slaughtered that fatted calf. Can I tell you, my friend, the reason the servants were able to respond to the father's voice is because they were close enough to the Father to hear that still small voice. They were surrendered to the voice of God. Can I ask you tonight, sir? Maybe you're here tonight and you saw the excitement of being able to go to an all men's meeting. And boy, we're glad you're here. I'm thankful that you're here. I'm looking forward to getting to meet all of you. But can I say what we need is some men to be surrendered? I'll be at the house of God Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We need some men to say, I'll be surrendered to live clean and live holy. I'll be surrendered to tell another lost sinner about what Jesus done in my life. Can I ask you, when's the last time you just said, God, whatever it is you want me to do, I'll be surrendered, amen. You know why Abraham was pleasing in the eyes of God? And he got to that place because, first of all, he stopped by that landmark of surrender. Number two, look at verse number 4 and 5. You understand, when something was asked of Abraham, it was a natural reaction. Did Abraham second guess God? Did Abraham question God? Did a multitude of emotions flood his heart and his mind as he went on this journey? Perhaps they did. He was human just like you and I are. But what stands out in the life of Abraham is not his thoughts or his emotions, but rather his actions to God. He did exactly what God told him to do. Look at verse number 4 and 5 with me. The Bible says that on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here, the ass and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. To stay alliterated, I was going to say that this is the landmark of sanctification or separation, but as I begin to read that a little bit more, I see that it's the landmark. He had to stop by not only the landmark of surrender, but Abraham stopped by the landmark of service. Look at it with me. As I read these verses, there was a couple of things that stood out to me. Abraham's surrender affected his service. True service is always preceded by surrender. By service, I'm talking about his duty or the business at hand. But look what his service was. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, and Abraham said it to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lamb will go yonder and... What's that next word? Worship and come again to you. Can we be reminded it was about a 50-mile journey start to finish, and it took several days, plenty of time for Abraham to get distracted in the way, Plenty of opportunity for Abraham to talk himself out of it. But Abraham stayed the course. And his focus was on his service to worshiping God. He said, I'm going to go up there, and whether I have to fulfill what God's told me to do or not, he said, I'm still going to go up there, and I'm going to worship Jehovah God. Can I say tonight, my friend, it's very easy for you and I to sing the songs of Zion and to worship God when we're in a group full of men that are doing the same thing. And thank God for public worship. But can I say, God not only deserves, but he deserves for their private worship as well. Can I say tonight, my friend, I'm infuriated just as much as anybody else here tonight of the one that sits in the Oval Office tonight. But I believe part of the judgment of the heavy judgment of God upon our land is we put more focus on the one that sat in the Oval Office than the one that sits on his throne. And I guarantee you, if the Secretary of Donald Trump were to contact every single one of us men here tonight and said that Donald Trump wants to meet with us in his house in Florida in 2 weeks, we'd put it on our calendar. We'd iron our shirt. We'd make sure our tie knot was real good and tight. We'd shine our shoes. We'd make sure everything was just right to meet Donald Trump. Can I say, my friend, there's one far more important than Donald Trump that wants to meet with us and wants to walk with us and talk with us along life's narrow way. Can I tell you, my friend, I understand COVID-19 was difficult and we all had to go through it our own way, and there are going to be some difficult days that come along the way, but I will tell you, the ones that still had revival even through the difficult days is those that didn't know what it was just to worship God publicly, but to worship God privately as well. I think about Job. You know why Job didn't curse God and die? Because while the hedge was up, he still brought honor and glory to God. While everything was good, while everything was clicking along okay, he was still spending time with God. And that's why he was able to get through when the hedge came down. Not only surrender, not only service, but number three, look at verse number 9. Genesis 22, look at verse number 9. The Bible says, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. The first landmark that Abraham had to stop by is he stopped by that landmark of surrender way before God asked him to do it. He stopped by the landmark of service where he still worshiped God. And number three, he stopped by that landmark of sacrifice. That word sacrifice means to destroy. It means to surrender or suffer to be lost for the sake of attaining something. Abraham had surrendered or destroyed so much of his plans up to this point in his life. God had been directing his every step and his every move. Abraham had sacrificed living near his family in chapter 12. He sacrificed his relationship and his fellowship with nephew Lot. God had changed his plans by promising him a son and that Abraham would be the father of many nations. And now after his whole life being directed and laid out by God, God now asked him the ultimate ask, and that is to sacrifice your son. Again, this is the only instance in the Bible where God asked this of a man. Why would God ask him such a thing? Because God knew that Abraham would do it. And Abraham's journey to that place of fearing God brought him by the landmark of sacrifice. But sacrifice was nothing new to Abraham. Matter of fact, his whole life was one big sacrifice. Did Abraham really think that God was going to have him slay his own son? Again, his actions speak much louder than his thoughts. But nowhere do we see Abraham scared or shaking or fighting the urge. And can I say, if there's one truth that you get from this point right here, get this truth right here. Abraham was able to sacrifice Isaac because Abraham knew that Isaac was not his to begin with. And can I say tonight, sir, it's a good day. It is a good day. It's a good day in every one of our lives. When we realize as a blood-bought child of God, we've been bought with a price, and it's not our life to do with what we want to. It's his. Can I say that's why, if we understand it's God's life to do with what he wants to do with it, then we won't operate in the flesh, but we'll be led by the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. Do you, how many of us are saved by the good grace of God? I mean, do it Memphis, Tennessee style, amen, where I'm from. You understand, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Someone told me years ago, Brother Dallas, if your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, then you're building a mega church, amen. God the Holy Ghost lives inside of us. My wife and I got married, Nikita and I got married June the 16th, 2007. We went on our honeymoon to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and we showed up for service in Jacksonville, North Carolina at the Grace Baptist Church, and that's where we would work out the ministry there in evangelism for 5 years. That first year of evangelism, obviously the meeting, there wasn't very many meetings on the calendar, and I was the soul winning coordinator, the bus director, the toilet unclogger, whatever needed to be done around the church. That was my job. But the preacher also gave me liberty to be able to set up revival meetings as the Lord led. And Nikita would teach in the Christian school. But I remember the very first day we moved there, they were having a revival in our church. And there was a preacher that was preaching revival that week, the very first night that we showed up there in Jacksonville. And he was preaching about crucifying the flesh, not just weekly, not just monthly, but every single day, and to be led by the Spirit of God. He went over to Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2. He said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." He talked about how we're to offer our life as a living sacrifice. He went over there to the Old Testament. There's many Old Testament scripture. But he went over to the book of Leviticus and talked about those Old Testament saints that would offer those animals as a burnt sacrifice. And when they would put them on that altar as a burnt sacrifice, they would not offer those animals as a whole animal, but they would cut those animals in pieces, and they would offer that animal to pieces in God, to God on that altar. And he illustrated in how we're to offer our body not only as a living sacrifice, but to pieces to God. He illustrated it, and I'll illustrate to you tonight. And can I say, from that day to this day, every day of my life, for these last 14 years, I've gone to God and said, "God, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, I ask you to allow me to die to myself, die to my wants, die to my desires. And God, I want your wants and your desires for my life. And Lord, now I ask you to allow me to lay my life on this altar." And talking about pieces, "God, I ask you to take my mind and don't let me think about anything or part of anything that would be wicked or vile or sinful. Lord, I ask you to talk about pieces. God, take my eyes and don't let me look upon anything or see anything I should look upon or see. Talk about pieces. God, take my ears and don't let me listen to anything or hear anything I should listen to or hear. Talk about pieces. God, take my arms and my hands and don't let me pick up anything or touch anything I should pick up or touch. Talk about pieces. God, take my heart and cleanse it, make it pure and holy. Allow me to be a clean vessel that can be used by you. Talk about pieces. God, take my legs and my feet and don't let me walk any place or step any place that I should walk to or step into." You say, "Brother Dallas, you do that every day, every single day. Brother Dallas, why do you do that every day?" I'll tell you why. Because I don't want the flesh to rule and reign my life, but I want the Spirit of God to rule and reign my life. Can I say it's a good day in our lives when we realize that we've been bought with a price and we're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. I guarantee you tonight, if I were to ask every man here, how many of you want to leave this place filled with the Spirit of God? You want to be filled to preach the Word of God. You want to be filled to lead your families. But men, may we be reminded, there has to be a fatality of self before there's a filling of the Spirit of God. He stopped by the landmark of surrender. He stopped by the landmark of service. He stopped by the landmark of sacrifice. And as a result, look at verse number 12 with me. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the land, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Along that journey, as Abraham stopped by that landmark of surrender and service and sacrifice, as a result, Abraham's faith then became sight. Once Abraham had come to that literal place that God wanted him, things began to become very clear. I was preaching under a tent in Indiana a few months back. I don't know if anyone here knows the Epley family, but the Epleys were singing in that meeting. And they were singing about this portion of Scripture right here. And the gist of the song was, as Abraham and Isaac were going up one side of the mountain, God was sending that ram on the other side. America doesn't need more paychecks. America doesn't need more programs. America doesn't need more politicians. You know what America needs? It needs some men of faith. Maury Gibson said this about faith. He said, God's people used to go to God's throne to plead their case. Now they just go to social media to plead their problems. The most supernatural prayer that God will ever answer in any of our lives was the day that we called upon His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save our soul. And the same great big God of heaven that answered that supernatural prayer of faith is the same great big God of heaven that will answer the needs that come along this journey called life. Can we be reminded, men, it is displeasing to our Heavenly Father when His children don't have faith in Him. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But that's what is faith. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What is that substance? That substance is the Word of God, my friend. And as I read my Bible, men, women, boys, and girls, they live by faith in this Bible, and they were able to get over to the other side. But I thank God tonight, He's not a respecter of persons, and He doesn't love any man, woman, boy, or girl in this Bible more than He loves you or more than He loves me. And my friend, if they can live by faith, you and I can live by faith as well. I had no idea when 10 weeks were completely wiped off my calendar. I was there at home. Boy, I think I just about got through with Nikita's honeydew list during those 10 weeks, amen. Boy, she put me to work, amen. I'm glad I'm traveling again so I can get a break a little bit, amen. I mean, I laid sod and mulch and built a fire pit and done all that, those kind of things. But I had no idea with 10 weeks completely wiped off my calendar why God told me to increase my giving to the building account. I had no idea 10 weeks completely wiped off my calendar why God impressed on my heart during one of my mornings of prayer to send a love offering to a couple missionaries that I knew that were struggling. And can I say my sight wasn't very clear then, but I can see it clearly now what God was doing. God was just getting me to that place. Can I just testify the goodness of God? Those 10 weeks that were completely wiped off my calendar, every single one of those preachers sent a love offering instead of me not even preaching. I didn't really know how to take that. They were sending me money not to come. Amen. I didn't know how to take that at all. Can I say March of 2020 till about August of 2020, those 4 or 5 months were the best months financially in 14 years of evangelism. Can I say, my friend, I understand your need tonight may not be for God to take care of you through the love offerings of God's people, but God doesn't love Chris and Nikita Dallas more than he loves any man and their family here tonight. And the same God that did it for us is the same God that will do it for you. Number five, he called it Jehovah Jireh. He was sure of God, amen. But let me finish with this. He became sure of God. Look at Genesis 22. And I want you to just look at something tonight. Now, we understand the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible, amen. But commentaries would say the only one mentioned more about his coming than the Lord Jesus Christ was Isaac. And so in verses number 1 through verse number 14, all those verses are speaking about Abraham and Isaac. You know the answer to this, but just let me ask it for the sake of the message. Did Isaac die that day on that altar? No. God provided a ram. Look at verse number 19 with me. This is after everything was said and done. Look at verse number 19. The Bible says, so Abraham returned unto his young men. And they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Could it have been? It just says, so Abraham. It doesn't say, so Abraham. God put it in the Bible just exactly like he wanted to put it in the Bible. It doesn't say, so Abraham and Isaac. It says, so Abraham returning to his young men. Could it have been there that day as Abraham, Father Abraham, put Isaac on that altar, bound Isaac on that altar. Isaac's looking up there at his father and he sees him draw the knife back and all of a sudden his hand is stayed. And Abraham goes off for a little bit. He comes back with a ram and he unlooses Isaac. He puts that ram on the altar. He offers that ram in the stead of Isaac. Could it have been there that day after the smoke cleared and after the bullock was offered to God as that sacrifice and Abraham began to pack up the things and go back down to the bottom of the mountain? Could it have been that Isaac said, Daddy, if it's okay with you, I'd just like to stay up here on the mountain a little while and praise God that he provided a substitute in my stead. Can I say lastly tonight, men, my friend, the reason that you and I need to get to that place where we fear God above everything else, because there's a second generation watching us go to that place where God wants us to get to. Can I say tonight, we get to go to a lot of places. Before I got saved, by the grace of God, I never went more than 2 hours either direction of Memphis, Tennessee. Now these last 15 years of evangelism, I just preached in Alaska a couple of weeks ago. I believe that's the 42nd state that the Lord's allowed me to be able to go and preach. Been overseas in all those places, and I'm forever grateful to go to those places. But there's one place I want to be and I want to stay, and that is where I fear God above everything else. Now, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we sure do thank you, Lord, for the good liberty that you've given us to preach the Word of God tonight. Lord, I pray more than anything that I brought honor to your name. Lord, I pray that I was a help to this meeting. Lord, I pray, Lord, for Brother Wes and Brother Sam as they would preach the Word of God here in just a little while. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with the remainder of this service, and be with any congregational song that we would sing, any special that would be sung. And Lord, again, be with the preaching of the Word of God. Be with the decisions around this altar tonight. Lord, allow them to be life-changing and eternal. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you'll do on this place this weekend. And we'll thank you for it. In your name I pray. Amen.